Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came. In Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Let's thank God for the Word today, church. Come on, give it up for the Word today. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, I hope you have something to take notes with, follow along with us, because we're a learning church. Is that okay? We've all come here to grow, to get better, to get closer to God, to go from glory to glory, to go from level to the next level. God has the next level for every single one of you here and online. No matter your age, no matter where you're at in life, God always has more. We're in a series right now called How to Increase Your Influence. How to Increase Your Influence. We're talking about the ministry of good works. All of us want to make a difference with our life. All of us want to leave a mark. All of us want to impact others for the good. We want to live significant lives. We don't want to waste our life. Life is not about what you and I receive. Life is all about what you and I give, contribute. Can I have an amen? So for you and I to increase our influence, and someone said that leadership is simply influence. As parents, we want to influence our children. As a teenager, I want to influence my peers. As a co-worker, I want to influence those around me where I work, where I go to school, on the university campus. So how do I increase my influence? So I shared with you last weekend, this was a free kind of a rabbit trail, is you and I have to learn how to master ourselves. We have to learn how to manage ourselves. The first person we need to learn how to lead is ourselves. If it doesn't work in our life, then why would it work in anybody else's life? So self-mastery, self-leadership. You say, Pastor, what's that look like? 3 points. Number one, I have to know my strengths. I have to know my strengths. Every one of us in this room, everyone online, you have God-given gifts. You have God-given talents. If you don't know what they are, go through our God is for You classes and we'll help you discover your God-given gifts. For me to self-master my life, to self-leadership, to learn how to lead myself correctly, properly, at the highest level, I have to know what my strengths are. My gifts, my talents, those things that God gave to you and I to make a difference with. Number two, I have to know my weaknesses. All of God's children have blind spots. Can I have a witness in the house today? I have them, you have them, we all have them. And we have to know what our weaknesses are and work on them as well as working on our strengths. So if I'm going to manage myself, if I'm going to learn how to lead myself well so I can lead others, I have to know my strengths. I have to know my weaknesses. And number three, I have to know how I impact other people. What's it like to work with you? What's it like to be on the other side of you, on the other side of me? What's it like to work with you? What's it like to live with you? What's it like to live next door to you? You need to know that. I need to know that. What's it like to go to school with you, to go to work with you, to live with you, to live next door to you? What's it like? You see, you and I, we a lot of times our perspective of ourselves is not the correct perspective that others have of us. We need to know how we're impacting. For example, you know, do I bring out the best in people or do I bring out the worst in people? Well, when people see me at Walmart, do they run and hide or do they want to come near? Are we cynical? Are we sarcastic? Are we known for that? Are we known for being a gossiper? Are we known for being critical? Or are we known for empowering, encouraging people? Are we known for our being positive and full of faith, or negative, cynical, sarcastic, and a defeat attitude? What are you known for? What am I known for? Do we leave people better than we found them? What do they say behind your back? What do they say when you're not around? If we're going to lead ourselves, master ourselves, if we're going to do that, I have to know my strengths, I have to know my weaknesses, and I have to know how am I impacting other people. That's powerful. We looked at that in detail last weekend. If you weren't with us, go to our website. You can get it free. But we're talking about how do we do that. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's get right into it. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth, it says. You're the light of the world. You're a city that's set on a hill, not to be hid. Now is not the time to hide our faith. Now is not the time to hide our faith. Now is the time to come out, right? So your salt, your light, it says, do men light a candle and they put it under a bushel? No. It gives light. They light it so it gives light to all that are in the house. So Matthew 5:16, how do we influence? How do we impact? How do we make the world better? It's this, let your light shine before men. How do I do that, Pastor? Do I need a degree? Do I need to know the Bible from cover to cover? Do I need to be perfect? Do I need to have it all together? None of that. Let your light shine before men that they may see your what, church, tell me? Good works. So that they may see your good works, and your good works will impact those around you, and it will make God look good in heaven. It'll make God look good in heaven, and it'll impact those around you, your good works. It's the mindset of paying it forward. It's the mindset of champions do extra. It's the mindset of being a second miler. Here's what I know. Been here 40 years. All of us in this room, we have more on the inside of us. You have more on the inside of you. I have more on the inside of me. We need people around us that will bring out that more. All of us have more. And so when you and I decide to be a second miler, to do more than is expected, to go and do the extra, to do the unexpected, to do the remarkable, when we do that, we bring out the second miler and those people around us. See how we can influence, how we can impact, how we can make a difference? Ephesians 2 and verse 10, please note this with me. We have become his poetry. We are created people that will fulfill the destiny. Let's all say destiny. But fulfill the destiny that he's given each one of us. Each one of us in this room online, you have a destiny or a destination. We're all on a journey. God prearranged it, pre-programmed it before you and I were in our mother's womb. It says that we are created people that will fulfill the destiny that he's given each of us, for we're joined to Jesus. Now watch this, don't miss it. The anointed one, even before we were born, God planned in advance our what? Destiny and the to fulfill it. Family, do you realize what I'm talking about this month? Do you realize I'm talking about your destiny, your journey, your life? They tell me that one of the most asked questions on Google is this: why am I here? One of the most asked questions, instead of going to God, they're going to Google. Let's don't go to Google, let's go to God, and let's find out, why am I here? And notice, all of us have purpose, all of us have destiny, all of us have a journey with a direction and an end in mind. But notice, to fulfill that, you and I have to incorporate in our life the ministry of good works. Your destiny is attached to your good works. Your destiny, your progression, your movement, your fruitfulness, your productivity, the sense of satisfaction is all connected to the ministry of good works, which is attached to your destiny. Titus 2:14. Look at this scripture. Amazing. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar, not weird, but peculiar people, zealous of good works. So notice, what does this verse tell us? The takeaway, you and I are to get up every day of our life and we're to look for opportunities to do good. The Bible says we overcome evil with good. We're to look outside ourselves. You know, I took enough psychology in college to be dangerous, okay? But here's what they taught me in those courses in college on psychology. Here's one bottom line I walked away with, principle. If you're discouraged, go help somebody else. All that money, all that loan, student loan, for all that, and that's what I walked away with. If you're down, if you're depressed, if you're discouraged, go find somebody else that is and encourage them. Because what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. What you sow, you reap. What you give, you receive. So the best thing you can do when you're down is find someone else and encourage them and lift them up. That's a good work. That's doing extra. That's going outside myself. That's not being selfish and self-centered. So we're to be intentional and we're to be enthusiastic about doing good works. Look what it says in the Amplified. Who gave himself on our behalf that he might redeem us, purchase our freedom from all iniquity for himself, a people to be peculiar in his own, people who are eager. Well, that sounds like the people at Church on the Rock. People who are eager and enthusiastic about living a life for themselves. Oh, thank you very much. I misread it. Y'all help me out now. People, are you eager? Are you enthusiastic? Are you looking today for opportunities to bless someone, help someone, empower someone, lift someone up, make their life better, leave them better than you found them? Or am I just self-centered and it's all about me today? That's a miserable life. That is a depressed life right there. Notice that we're to be eager. This is Bible now, not blunt, but it is blunt. Eager and enthusiastic about living a life that's good and a life that's filled with good works or beneficial deeds. When's the last time I did something for someone else? When's the last time that I lifted someone else up? When's the last time I bought someone else's meal, paid for their groceries? When's the last time that I mowed my neighbor's yard? When's the last time I cooked them a meal? When's the last time I served on the dream team at Church on the Rock? You all knew I was going to throw that in there, right? Revelation 14:13. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Watch this now, family. Amazing. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works. Now, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace to do works, okay? And their works follow them to heaven. Do y'all see that, family? You know, we can't take anything. We say we like to take our family to heaven, but that's not a for sure. That's not a for sure. We want our family to go to heaven. We want to take them to heaven. But one thing that is for sure is that you and I will take our works with us to heaven, to the next world, to the next hereafter. What we did here on this earth right now with these 70, 80, 90, 100 years will determine your role in the next world. Will determine your rewards and your responsibility. Y'all listen to your pastor today? So then I need to make, if I believe that, I need to make every day count. I don't want to waste a day. I don't want to waste a week. I don't want to waste a month. I don't want to waste it on me and live a life of regret. I want to find out why I'm here. I want to find out every day, Holy Spirit, lead me to impact, influence, encourage, equip, uplift the one another ministry in the Bible. Because notice, my good works, if Christians really believe this, they'd be serving a whole lot more. Come on, somebody. If they really believe that your good works, you know, we've all heard it. There's no U-Haul behind the hearse, right? But there is good works that follow you and I to heaven. I love that. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly. I hope he does before the service is over. Three of you want to go. Praise God. You know, I remember Kim and I, and you don't need to clap, just pray for us, 51 years, okay? And I can remember she was still in high school. She was a senior, and I had graduated, and we wanted to get married, you know. So I went to her dad to ask for her hand, and here was my proposal to him. I said, you know that Jesus is coming back quick. He was a good old Baptist boy, you know. I said, here I am, 19, she's 17, she's a senior in high school. I said, Jesus is coming back quick. And I want, Charlie was his name. Charlie, I want to get married before Jesus comes back. It worked. 51 years, he gave me her hand. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man and every woman, not according to the color of their skin, not their EQ, their IQ, not their background, but according to their work. Oh, my goodness. So according to our good works, it determines our rewards in heaven. Zig Ziglar, you heard me last week, and if you were with me, I heard this in 1984. We started the church in 83. In 84, I had a consultant come, John Mason. And John Mason shared this quote with me. I never forgot it, by Zig Ziglar. You can get everything in life you want if you'll help enough people get what they want. Are you with me, family? What is that? That's sowing and reaping. That's giving and receiving. Pastor, I'm here today, or I'm online. I don't have a dream. I don't know what to do, like the girls saying. I don't know what to do. I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. You know, find somebody else with a dream and support their dream. Find somebody else with a cause, a purpose, and support their cause and purpose. And then God will give you your own dream. God will give you your own dream and reveal it to you if you help other people with their dream. Am I helping anybody today? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, watch this. Amazing. Laboring together as God's fellow workers with him, we beg of you not to receive the grace of God in vain. That merciful kindness, can we all say kindness? Random acts of kindness? That kindness by which God exerts his holy influence. There's where Pastor Ben, he cheated. That's where he got his title for his sermon. How to increase your influence. Right there, right there it is. Kindness by which God exerts his holy influence on souls and turns them to Christ. How? Through good works. How do we lead people to God? Through good works. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance, not religion. Not harassing, not putting people down, not berating people, belittling people. No, none of that. But look at this. The grace of God, with it comes kindness, and that kindness is a holy influence. And that influence of kindness leads people, will lead your family, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your peer, your friend, your sibling, will lead your coworker. You can actually impact, be salt and light, and lead people to Christ by just being kind. Oh, come on, somebody. You don't have to go through a course on soul winning. Nothing wrong with that. You don't have to go to a seminary. Nothing wrong with that. You don't have to go to college. Nothing wrong with that. We're pro-college, all of that. But all you got to do is have that the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that exerts kindness. Just being kind today, you won't blend in anymore. Pastor, I just want to be noticed. Be kind. Pastor, I just want to be promoted. Be kind. Pastor, I don't want to blend in anymore. Pastor, I want to stand out. What do I need to wear? Just wear the cloak of kindness, and you'll lead souls to Jesus Christ. Come on, can we give God a good praise for that revelation? Woo! So we have kindness, we have influence on souls, and turns them to Christ. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth, but Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. He was not a Christian, and his wife was born-again, spirit-filled believer. And his wife would go to church, and Smith would berate her. He would harass her, try to keep her from going to church. And finally, one time, true story, one time, you know, he said to her, if you go to church this Sunday morning, when you come back, you know, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to this, that, and the other with you. So she said, Smith, I love you, but I'm going to church as the team comes out. I love you, but I love God more. Smith, you're not my Lord. Jesus is Lord over my life. She went to church. She came back, and he had locked the door. He locked the door. True story, wouldn't let her in the house. So she laid down in front of the door, started praying for him. He heard this commotion. He opened the door, looked at that and what she was doing, and he knelt and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Her kindness, oh my goodness, and strengthening them, do not receive it to no purpose. In other words, good works, works. Good works, works. Acts 9, 36. Can you handle just 5 minutes more? How many give me 5 minutes? 1, 2, 3. Come on, keep them up. 20 minutes. Okay, thank you. Now, there was a Joppa, a disciple, a woman, Tabitha, who in Greek means Doris. She was abounding. Oh, look at this. Here's a story. She was abounding in good deeds and acts of charity. What was she known for? Her good deeds and acts of charity. What was she known for? Her good works. At that time, she fell sick, and she died. And when they had cleansed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydia was near Joppa, however, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men begging him, do come to us without delay. So Peter immediately rose and accompanied them. And when he had arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood round about him. They were crying. They were displaying in their undershirts, their tunics, other garments such as Doris was accustomed to make while she was with them. What was she known for? Her good works. What happened to her? She got sick and she died. But Peter put them all out of the room, knelt down, and he prayed. Then turning to the body, he spoke to her and he said, get up. And she opened her eyes. Is there anything dead in your life today? Has your zeal for God died? Has your enthusiasm for God died? Has your walk with God gone dead and dry? How can you bring it back to life again? Through the ministry of good works, you can bring it back to life again. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she raised herself and sat upright. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. Then calling in God's people and the widows, he presented to her them alive. What was she known for? Good works. What happened? She got sick and she died. What happened? They called the man of God, laid hands on her, and she rose from the dead. Is there anything dead in your life today? I'm telling you, it can come back to life. The minute you and I realize that life is more about us and our needs and our wants and our desires, that God put us on this earth to be salt, to be light, to make a difference, to influence people through the ministry of just being kind and respectful and honoring one another and encouraging one another and praying for one another, that we can draw people into the kingdom of God. Can I have a good amen? Years ago, in closing, Daniel, our executive pastor, he graduated from high school. I said, Daniel, what would you like for your graduation? He said, Dad, I want to go to Branson. I want to go down there, and I want to go fishing on the lake down there. I want to go fishing, and I want to catch some fish. So I said, okay. So I took him down there for his graduation gift, just him and me together, father, son. I rented a guide, smart, amen, a fisherman's guide to take us out on the lake, his boat, professional guide. We're out there on the lake, and he's taking us around, telling us, now, I took some folks out here yesterday. Boy, we caught a lot of fish, so let's go over there, okay? Launch into the deep, amen. So as we begin to talk to him, and he found out that I was a pastor, Daniel had just graduated from high school, and I was a pastor, and here's what he said. He goes, you know, preacher, he said, I had no place for churches. I had no place for God. I'd been hurt by this and hurt by that. Religion, I had no place for it. But he said, then my daughter, husband left, and she was left to be a single mom with my grandkids. And he said, I watched this church in town reach out to her. And this local church began to bring groceries by, begin to pay her bills. And he said, preacher, once I saw that, I realized I had to go to that church. Once I saw the kindness of God's people in that church, how they took care of my single mom, daughter, and my grandkids, he said, I had to go to that church, and I gave my life to God. Come on, somebody. It can happen to your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your co-worker. It can happen. And you don't have to preach a sermon. Just be a sermon. Amen? I'm done. Give the Lord a big thank you for the word today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you all bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? Gone a little over today, but is that okay with everybody? I hope it is. I value your time. But those of you online, you'd say, Pastor, just like the girl saying, I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. I'm hanging on to stuff. My life is a mess. I'm hurting today. I need God. I want God in my life. There's things in my life I need forgiveness for. I want His love. I want His forgiveness. I want to know my purpose. Pastor, I'm struggling. I'm hurting. Pray for me today. I want God in my life today. If that's you online, or you say, I'm a believer, but Pastor, I need to reset my life today, recommit my life today, punch the button on your device. If you need prayer, people are standing by alive right now, real people. Here in this room, out in the lobby, in the Rock Express, you say, Pastor, that's me. I need God today. I'm struggling today. I'm confused today. The world's gone crazy today. I don't know what to do next. I need help. I need God. Pastor, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But like they sang today, I've been hurt. I've been wounded. I've been offended. I've been angry. And I need to let it go. I need to let it drop. I need to recommit my life to God today. No one's going to embarrass you, but faith is an act, and we got to do something right there in your seat. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If that's you, lift your hand right now, would you, for me? I want to know who I'm praying for. Every section, put your hand up high. Keep it up as I scan the audience. You matter, front to back, side to side. Put your hand up. Pray for me, Pastor. No one's going to embarrass you. I just want to know who I'm praying for. And faith is an act. As you do that right now, you won't believe what's going to happen in your life right in just a few minutes. You can put your hands down. Church, let's help them here online. Let's all pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I repent of all my sin. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.